I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion. Fashion.
Hey. Hello, hags. We're back down here in the basement.
Hello, everyone.
Evan's intros are always so just chill.
Just like...
understated.
Hi, guys.
And then Katie and I, it's like not that bad.
Skinamax after dark.
Yeah. When Abby and I start, it's like, Nickelodeon!
We're back!
Evan's like, let's bring it down a notch, everybody.
You need like a funky
bass
line.
My name is Fraser
line.
Crane.
Oh, there you go.
I'm listening. Meanwhile, we're all talking over each other at the same time.
We're not listening. Oh, no, we're not listening. We're barely listening to ourselves and each other. We're certainly not listening to you. Mostly because we can't hear you because we're talking to our, we're talking in a vacuum.
We're screaming into a tin can.
Yes, exactly.
But you know who was listening? Fucking BBC Culture.
What? Yeah, we got ourselves some pretty cool press.
Unsolicited.
Since the last episode. They, yeah, we are not sending out emails to people.
No.
Promoting ourselves.
We don't have a PR. We don't have PR.
I was pretty impressed with that.
Yeah, we're up with the big boys.
Yeah, I was like, oh, we should really milk this for everything as well.
Yeah, there you go. So just check out our Instagram and our Facebook. We posted a picture of it because it's looking dope.
We didn't just pull up our socks. We went and bought new socks, put them on and pulled them up.
We got fancy socks.
British socks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What's that? What's that? Like the golf sock, Argyle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fancy motherfuckers. So thanks, BBC.
Thanks, BBC. That was so cool. I was pretty flabbergasted to be included on the same list as You Must Remember This, which is one of my favorites, and Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History, both of which we've talked about on this podcast.
Yeah, History Chicks. I'm looking at it right now.
And like all these
99% Invisible and The Illusionist, which are amazing shows.
Yeah.
All these people who are like,
legit?
Like educated and probably have like PhDs and master's degrees and all things like that. And then there's just us three
just shouting into a can.
Yeah. Just bitching about things that really don't matter in the grand scheme of the world.
Quoting Drag Race, making dick jokes, and talking about dresses.
But thanks for paying attention. That's huge.
That's amazing.
Very, very, and you know what? We couldn't have done it without you.
It's true. Thanks, guys.
It's a good time.
Thanks, Hags.
Good time.
So what have we been up to since last?
Oh, boy. You've probably been in decompressing mode where you're just like...
I have been doing nothing.
You timed the show nicely that you still have some summer left. I hope you're enjoying it.
Although we've unfortunately had all this horrible haze of weird particles in the air in Vancouver because of the forest fires.
Yeah, there's huge forest fires in our province, and just the way the wind is going, there's not really any down here, but there's all the smoke, like we can't see, the visibility is super shitty.
Yeah.
Everybody has this scratchy throat, like you can probably hear mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, every once in a while you just like get a smell of burning wood. And you're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, it's just bizarre. Like on the wind.
So there's like 2 weeks of it. Like it was bad. Like yesterday was the first day.
You know the movie Silent Hill?
There's weird fog everywhere.
Yeah. It was all post-apocalyptic. And then when the sun would go down, it was just this glowing red orb.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was like really strange. Eye of Sauron or some shit.
Seriously. I kept trying to take pictures of it and it would not do it justice. I'm like, this shit is like more than neon. Like if neon is bright, this is more than neon.
Yeah.
Like picture the Japanese flag, but on a gray background. That's basically what a sunset.
And it's like the actual sun.
Yeah.
So that's done.
Yeah, well,
we got a little bit of rain down here, which was good.
Thank God. Like the week after the show, it was Pride in Vancouver, and I thought, like, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna like go with the flow.
See what happens.
I'm not planning to go into anything. If I'm invited to something and it's interesting, I'll go. So I went to like my usual drag nights. Shout out to the Brat Pack crew. If you're ever in Vancouver on a Thursday night, go to Brat Pack. It's honestly, such a great show. It's at the Junction in the West End.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I also went to Limp Wrist at the Cobalt. And it was
lovely.
The theme was Legacy. So it's like the drag mother and their drag daughters doing a number together. And they impersonated famous mothers. So
Shit, that's good.
So there was a Liza and Judy. There was a Joan Crawford and I can't remember her daughter's name.
The one that wrote the book.
Yeah, the one who wrote the book. Yeah. And then I didn't see the third performance. I can't remember what it was. I'm sure it was fabulous. And then I went to an after hours, which was so fun. It was just I think it might be the crowd that attends most drag events in the city, but it's mostly older white gay men.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to this like queer hip hop party in like a
different
like a shitty
vibe.
Garage warehouse, and it was so much fun.
Awesome.
Shout out to the people who put that on. I honestly don't know what it was called because I heard about it.
And as then you I were just walking decided, through the door, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, this is happening.
This is a thing.
Yeah, and that was so much fun. But like after the show, I thought I was going to decompress, and then it was like, no, bitch, it's Pride. We're
it's on.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I'm just like finally. Like my studio still, I rearranged my studio and everything is kind of like in this huge pile, but I'm trying to find the time. And now I'm going to Montreal. I'm leaving Montreal.
You don't have even really time to just.
So I'm just like.
You got to work all week and then you
frantic.
Leave.
Yeah. So.
No rest for the wicked. Yeah.
Yeah. It never ends. And then also doing all that post show stuff, like extending promo and following up and costing and blah, 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 blah. Which is just like all that tedious.
It's
shit.
Fun, but it's I mean, it's not fun.
I mean, it's nice.
It's the opposite of fun. In fact,
it's nice.
It's
to
a
be able
good
to,
problem to have.
Yes. Yeah, it's nice to be able to lay in bed and work instead of having to be up and out and running around and doing all those
and having
things.
A million things in your brain and a whole bunch of shit half done
and like
not even.
Like,
started.
I'm just going to focus on this category.
Task. Yes,
and we'll do that, and then that
should
go take
from
me to this
there.
Point. Yeah,
that's satisfying.
But yeah, nothing to do with me partying, working. Being a homosexual.
Living your life. Be in your
partying, but authentic being a homosexual.
Yeah.
Next. I want to write that down. Why isn't my pen working?
Oh, that's going to be the feature image for sure.
God damn it, David. Where are your pens? I found one.
I mean, he just
thank you.
He just produces and edits our whole show, but where the fucking pen?
David, my husband has an innate pathological ability to make pens disappear.
Oof.
Oh,
I will buy a giant like a box of pens and they will all come down here and they will all they're not in here.
Yeah,
no, they're not. You're
they're
right.
Not they're not upstairs. I don't know where they go.
Is that what we heard rattling around in the
maybe we just heard a weird noise
before earlier
before we started to sell the fucking pens open it, bunch come all about. Oh, what was it? Sorry. Working, partying.
Being a homosexual. Timestamp is like 7:37 or so.
There we go. I guess I could also just go back and listen to this.
You're really seeing how the sausage is made here, people.
That is a phrase you don't hear enough. I think
no.
we really gotta
bring it back.
That's another good
it's
image.
On brand.
That's a how really. That's a really. Take. That's that. There's a lot of potential for a dick joke in there.
Oh, I think the whole thing is. Is the punchline. There you
I think
go.
You don't do any work at all.
No. Oh, fuck. That's good shit. Stuff. So, Abby, how are you?
Time.
You're you know, working, party, being a homosexual. How's that going
for
you?
Yeah, it's going great.
Pretty good so far.
It's treating me pretty well. I'm super over summer.
Like, are you already?
Super give me over fall.
It. Yes, I'm super over it.
Although I was pretty happy to have like a cool breeze today and a bit of rain. That was a real nice respite.
I'm over the heat.
Yeah.
And the sweatiness and just being fucking gross all the time. I'm not like a hot, like a person who enjoys heat or humidity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my jam. I know some people love it, but it's not for me. So I'm happy that that's going to be over. But I'm trying to max out my summer wardrobe while I still have it.
I know it's a real battle between like, I don't love being hot and sweaty, but I really love this really cute.
I got this cute. Yeah. I got this cute top like, and these great sandals that I really want to wear that I cannot wear as soon as the temperature goes down.
As soon as it's below 16 degrees, forget it. You're not going to wear those.
Yeah, exactly. But I am looking forward to putting jeans back on and like actual pants. So that'll be good. But I was showing these guys upstairs. I ordered these. Fucking rad shoes. I'm very excited.
They look like a candy store.
They are gold and sparkly and have like fake fruit on them.
Yeah.
Sounds insane.
Carmen Miranda style.
And right, the category is Chiquita Banana realness. Yeah. Chiquita Banana disco realness.
Yes, from the knees down.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about those. They've yet to arrive. They're from ASOS. They've yet to arrive. And I saw somebody online, somebody posted them on Instagram, and I was furiously Googling like all the keywords. I could figure it out. And I finally found them, and it was, yeah, I totally high-fived myself. It was pretty great.
They're super sweet.
I'm a They're sweet. Else. They were moderately affordable, and I found them. Mm-hmm. So
trifecta.
It's a win. And they're like big chunky heel. They're probably, I don't know, probably at least two, probably me 3 inches tall with like no platform. We'll see how those go. But
really, as long as if you're sitting,
it's just and better. It's a block heel, it's fine. It's fine. It's like I'm on a stiletto and I'm wobbling around or anything. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. I'm excited. I can wear those with my sweatpants. It'd be great when I don't leave the house. I recently found a gif of Anna Hendrick from Hendrix. Is there an S on her name? I forget.
I think it's there is an S.
I think there's an S. must be from some interview, and she's like, I like staying home and putting on sweatpants. I was like, it me.
I don't understand why people don't like her. They like just people just decided on the internet that they didn't like her for some reason.
Is it that whole Anne Hathaway thing? But I can understand the Anne Hathaway thing.
Hathaway.
I like her, but I can see how she might rub people the wrong way.
Anne Hathaway is a snob.
Is super cute.
Yeah.
And the role she plays. Like I just watched Dave and Mike Need Wedding.
Oh, that was a cute movie.
That is a that
whatever
is a,
wedding dates. Yeah.
That's it a was funny movie.
Super
that's
dumb, a but it was movie. So funny.
It is. Yeah. That is exactly
I watched
what it
yesterday
is.
Afternoon, just like it was on. I'm just like the kids are rolling around and you know, I could come and go. We don't really need to pay attention to it. Had a bunch of super funny people in it. Mm-hmm. She was awesome.
Aubrey Plaza.
Plaza.
Fucking hysterical.
Also likable. I really
she's like
her.
She's like top 10 people I want to dress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Honestly.
She's hilarious.
Yeah, it's a good time. So I'm very excited for these shoes. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to fall and these shoes arriving.
And these real shoes.
Oh, we'll be posting pictures. Don't you worry about it.
Babe. Oh, and like Poppy and Margot's fall looks.
Yes.
The fall lookbook.
Yeah, we gotta get that. We gotta get that on.
The Shemke children lookbook.
Yeah. I'm even tired of my kids' summer wardrobes. I'm just like, ugh, I've seen that stupid strawberry dress again. God damn it.
Strawberries are over.
What do you think? This is June? Give me a break.
Strawberries.
We've moved
fall.
On to toucans, okay? Strawberries are over.
We're still in the season of pineapples, so that's fine.
Pineapples carry over, it's fine.
We're doing tropical fruit. We're not doing like
we're not doing local, we're doing tropical,
fruits,
yeah.
Okay.
We're moving
into cruise, so we're going into tropicals. Yes. Okay.
Like what you wearing like St. Bart's or something?
Yeah.
Are you wearing strawberries to St. Bart's, Margo? I don't think so.
Please put that back.
You're wearing birds of paradise and you're wearing pineapples. All right? Come on. Get with the show.
Oh, well, Catherine, what have you got going on?
I feel like I've done all of the things.
You've been doing a lot of stuff. You've had a good summer.
I've been doing all of the things. Since we recorded last, I went to the island to visit my in-laws and did a bunch of dips, did some swimming. We swam in this beautiful, amazing quarry that's like near where my in-laws family lives. And it was this functioning quarry. That
water in the bottom.
Yeah, like halfway through digging out all of this rock, they hit a natural spring and the whole fucking hole filled up with this natural mineral water. And they're like, oh shit, get out of here. There's like still tractors and shit buried at the bottom of this lake.
Sick. It's,
yeah.
Did anyone
and
die?
And it's crazy. I don't think so. I think it was fine. I don't think it filled up like that. I think it filled up like slowly, okay. Let's get out of here. Yeah, yeah, they were okay. But I don't know. Maybe it's haunted. Maybe it's full of ghosts.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Are there ghosts?
It could be ghosts. There are a lot of little crayfish, which is kind of fun.
Oh, I remember catching those as a child.
Yeah.
That's good times.
But the water is like crystal clear and like mineralized. So
it's
really
nice.
I could swim in that goddamn quarry all goddamn day.
Please. Now Gwyneth Paltrow is going to like put it on the website and the quarry will be over. You have to pay like $500 to like put your toe in there.
You have to get a quarry egg and put it in your vagina.
I was saying it's a B-Y-O-Y-N-E. B-Y-O-N-E, but I don't know how to spell. Bring your own yoni egg. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right?
Thanks, like, Gwyneth. Like, it's where we're at now, right? 2017, super racist and yoni eggs. This is where we're at. Awesome.
Yeah. She's just like, she's.
I got my fruit shoes. I'll be fine.
She's collecting a check from Goop. Let's be real. She has no idea what's going on there.
Oh, boy.
She's all about the aesthetic. She doesn't know anything. She's just like, okay, that's pretty. Check. Put it in production.
Yeah, who cares?
$80 medicine bag that kind of like, it's like this pan indigenous off. I can't. Don't get me started.
You know what? Forget I even said anything about.
You know what? I brought up Gwyneth Paltrow, and that's because I'll take any opportunity to shit on her.
Maybe don't get me started. Here's me getting started.
Yeah,
we can have a whole episode shitting on Gwyneth Paltrow.
She's like, it's that classic thing of like, she's like, I don't want to get into it. But you know what?
Here I am.
Like,
but you know what? While we're here.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just gonna say one more thing.
Yeah. So I just don't understand why. Yeah. It's that kind of thing.
Completely. Anyway, Gwyneth, forget her.
Over it.
Mm. So we did that, and then my parents have been in town for a few days, so we've done go to a baseball game.
Nice.
Watch the
Chris
fireworks.
Chris and Nancy getting shit done.
Getting shit done. Go to do a bike and brewery tour. Go look at the mural fest. Go do the pitch and putt. Do the
beautiful.
The seawall bike ride.
You're doing
eat
it.
At the places. Have the fish and chips. Look at the ocean. All the things.
All the things.
Their vacation is killing me. I'm exhausted. But it's been awesome. It's been so fun to have them here.
At least they're footing the bill, so that's right. For all this food and stuff.
Well, for the most part. It's a pretty good split.
It's that balance of like going to dinner and be like, what should I order?
Yeah.
Who's paying for this?
Yeah, my mom was just here and we really discovered that. She's like, you're not poor anymore.
Shit.
She's like, where's my dinner? She did get a very nice dinner.
There you go. Yes. Thanks, Anna.
I took her to my favorite. I took her to Meat in Gastown.
Oh, you love it.
Delish.
I love it. My mother is not adventurous when it comes to many things.
Sure, she likes what she likes.
She's very stuck in her ways.
So what did she have in meat?
She had like the artisanal fries and like a side of like all of like the different sauces that they have.
Well, that's
pretty good.
Safe bet.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And like
you ain't doing anything wrong.
So
yeah,
I mean, you're never wrong with a plate of fries.
No.
We went for fish and chips at Horseshoe Bay last. We went out to White Cliff Park, which is so beautiful.
Yeah.
And then we went to Horseshoe Bay for fish and chips. And it was really busy. It was like a Sunday and a long week. Like, not a long weekend, but Sunday.
Nice
busy.
Day. And
really nice day. And it, you know, we had to wait 10 minutes or 15 minutes to get a seat. And then it's like, okay, we're, 10 minutes to order and probably 25 minutes for food. And we did not care. Like, we were just
in
vacation mode.
Yeah.
Everyone is panicking at the restaurant. And we're like, bring another beer. We don't care. We're eating the fish and chips. We don't care. It was great.
It's nice when you can be in that position.
Yeah, it was nice. I sort of sucked onto their vacation time. It was really nice.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, yeah, now they're... Oh, and the other thing is they are right now at a movie that I wish I was at. I'm kind of sad that I'm missing it. But it's a film noir festival at the Pacific Cinematheque. Here in Vancouver.
Some fancy movie theater.
Yeah, so they are right now watching a screening of The Lady from Shanghai, which is like Orson Welles.
Classic.
Ugh,
the clothes. Yeah.
So good for them. I'm excited that they're...
They ain't getting that,
they
Jasper.
Get that opportunity. Yeah, because that's not... You're not
getting
going
that
to the
at
theater
home.
And like get a glass of wine and nice popcorn and see a classic 1940s film noir. That's pretty... It's pretty good.
Or you can go see a Japanese anime like Evan and I did a few years ago.
Yes, it's yes.
Japanese.
Yeah, they always...
It was not dubbed. It was subtitled. Thank you
very much. It was subtitled, yes.
That's 10 times better.
And
it
was like... The story was like almost completely different from the English dub.
It was weird. It was great.
Oh, weird.
Mm-hmm. It had a very different vibe.
It had a very different tone, yeah. Because I think...
It was my friend Totoro, so it's not like we're like seeing anything like super controversial or weird.
Yeah. But
I'd only ever seen the English version for so long.
Yeah, and I think because it was dubbed for like a child audience, but in Japan, I think
that's
like,
not, they didn't
not,
make a,
they don't do it
an
for
effort
that
for
reason.
It like that. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's also like the whole
Sailor talking about.
It's also like the Sailor Moon dynamic where like when Sailor Moon was...
You know the Sailor Moon dynamics, Katie?
The
Katie's
thing,
all over it.
Homosexual. It's a homosexual thing.
It's the thing.
The sailor...
Wait, are you saying that they have some kind of homosexual agenda that they're shoving down throats of our children.
Oh, that's that's what Disney thought when they dubbed Sailor Moon for America.
Did zero research on what that is.
Sailor Uranus and Sailor Neptune are lesbian lovers in the original.
Or something, yes.
But then when they dubbed it into English, they turned them into cousins.
Oh, get bent.
Ew.
Oh.
So it's like all of these like beautiful, like the way that they animate like a love scene.
Sure.
Like when you're speaking to somebody that you love, like the same way that like Serena would talk to Tuxedo Mask, like it's animated the exact same way, but they're like, oh, like,
oh, but you're my family now. Member.
Yeah, they're cousins. Mm-mm. Randomly.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Gross.
To my friend Maddie, who's listening, she knows what's up.
Yeah, she's just like screaming into that. Everyone's like, yeah. And I'm sure the Sailor Moon lovers crossover with us is, I mean, that Venn diagram is small, it's
some
meaty. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some crossover there.
Yeah.
It's not include Katie.
Does not.
I mean, I know the things you're talking, I know the words you're saying.
She's I've on either movies. Side, but not in the middle. Not in the middle.
I watched, you know, probably 45 minutes of Sailor Moon in my lifetime.
There you go.
Over, you know,
I was going to say not continuously, but there you go.
I know what they look like and the hair.
Yeah, and you know what the makeover sequence looks like.
Hey, she knows about Luna. So there you go.
There's a cat with a moon.
Yeah,
there's three. You're welcome.
What's the pink one called?
I don't know. It's been a very long time. So I had all
Sailor
of them for the longest time.
Uranus. No, there isn't one.
There is
a Sailor Uranus.
There is.
That's the
Uranus.
That's the butch lesbian one.
Oh, shit.
With the short blonde hair.
And reading that, oh, what you will.
You
guys, we have fun.
Oh, we have fun.
I don't know what I'm talking
Although Neptune
about.
Is stunning. She has like teal blue hair and she does like crazy like tidal wave powers and it's just like amazing.
I'm not familiar. I'm
scared. I love it. This is turning into a Sailor Moon podcast.
Captain Planet. I watched Captain Planet.
Totally the same. Totally the same.
Talk about that for
60 seconds. You'll pay for this, Captain Planet.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? I know all
that. She's all over it. Alrighty. Well, I guess we've exhausted that topic.
Guys.
For now. I'm sure Evan hasn't. He could talk for a long time about Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
But today, we decided to talk about some books we love.
We're going to bring it down. We've had some serious conversations in the last little while. We're going to go just straight up fun times
mm-hmm.
for this episode.
Let's we are kick off overdue. The summer.
Let's kick off the
it's
late
like a good beach
summer.
Read.
Yeah.
A good beach listen.
Yeah, or I sit around in the yard or in the park and just leaf through something.
Yeah, because magazines are it's so much easier to leaf through a magazine and there's so much mileage you can get out of a stack of magazines because you can glance at them, you can read the articles, whatever.
You can read the same magazine like six times.
Yeah, it does not matter.
Until you're done.
And the same is true with a good like a nice, good, like coffee table book, like a fashion coffee table book,
mm-hmm.
but you're not bringing that to the beach.
No.
You're leaving that out on yourself so that people will be like, oh, she's
isn't she fancy?
Fancy. Like that. But I wasn't sure like about novels. Like, are we going to, because I,
yeah, I was trying to remember like if there's any like, but things that I've read that were like, all the Outlander books, they talk about clothes and that, but it's more like historical accuracy than like mm-hmm. fashion. So I was trying to remember.
And like the
that sort of thing.
In The Blind Assassin, which was an obsession of mine earlier in the summer, Margaret Atwood's book, they talk about she's sort of this socialite in the 30s and 40s. And so they talk about every time she goes to an event, they talk about what everyone is wearing at this costume ball or at this event and the sequins and the descriptions of things. Like that is really cool, but it's not
about
you know, a
that.
Theme of the book or anything. Like it's not, that's not the focus. So there's books that I've enjoyed in which I appreciate the fashion and the intention that's given to fashion, but
like not a fashion book.
Not a fashion book. So I brought a couple, like the first ones that came to my mind was one that you gave me, which is the classic Hollywood style, which you gave me a couple of years ago. And it's, I think it's a Rizzoli. No, but the other one I have is a Rizzoli. But this one's sweet because it's like, speaking of film noir, it goes by film. So it like breaks down like these classic Hollywood films that you've seen and like the fashions and how what the characters are wearing and how that
and
changes.
And what they're doing and saying and yeah.
Yeah, how that visually is portrayed through their clothes on screen. So like if a character develops into something different then their clothes change throughout, or they're like really, you know, feminine and kind of meek and demure. And then they turn into, you know, someone a little bit more powerful at the end, and their costume changes, or their lipstick changes color, or like whatever it is. Or like the, you know, femme fatale, who has this sleek, sexy black kind of a dress. And, you know, then the, you know, Marilyn Monroe, like whatever it is.
Whatever. Yeah.
So it's cool. So it breaks it down, like, not by like designer or era or whatever. It's like by those classic films that you've seen.
Awesome.
Which I'm a sucker
for. You're all over. Yeah.
So that, it's just called awesome. Classic Hollywood Style. And I have it right here. It's
like Faye Dunaway is.
Yeah, Faye Dunaway is.
What's her name?
Bonnie.
Bonnie Clyde.
And then Casablanca.
Obviously. On the back. Doi.
On the back. But it's awesome. Like, I haven't read all of them, but it goes like all the way back to like silent film and how important that kind of whole thing, like fashion. And I mean, it's never not important in film. We've talked about that, whatever episode it was that we talked about.
But it's interesting to see like in the early days of film where it's kind of, I don't want to say crude, but it's like they're figuring it out, you know, but it's still so important.
It's super important. And it's like,
and then moving through the black and white years and then to the color and, you know.
Yeah. And sort of some of these fashions, like they were done by not just like costume people, like a costume department. No, like they were designed for that specific character for that specific film. Not that that doesn't happen now. It absolutely does.
Yeah.
But it was such a, niche thing, I think.
It was more of an industry, I feel like.
Yeah,
and it was and because of the studio system, each studio had their own costume department that had all of their specialties and
connections and relationships.
Like, you get your gloves made, you get your hats made, your shoes, everything, every little thing would be made in the studio.
For you, for that role, for that movie.
Well, you look at like Edith Head and Audrey Hepburn and like that whole era of, you know, these really famous films. Like, Edith Head wouldn't have been a designer like a Christian Dior or like, you know, that you're not a designer for the masses. This isn't a ready to wear thing. This is like a very specific you're setting a very specific message with that garment.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you put clothes and film together, I'm probably going to be into it.
Yeah. I'll even want some of that. Absolutely.
And, yeah. So that's one of my go-tos, and this was a gift from my friend Evan.
It's like he knows what you like.
It's like I know you.
It was like when we first met, and I was like, "Have you seen Sunset Boulevard?" And I was like, "And you said you're like no," and I was like, "Stop what you're doing and go and watch that goddamn." Yeah. I think I brought you my copy. Maybe I forget how this.
Yeah.
Maybe I couldn't get a hold of it, but I was like, "Just stop what you're doing. Like,
figure out how to watch
it." I downloaded it because have a DVD of it.
And every couple of days when I'm seeing, like, did you watch fucking Sunset Boulevard yet? And you're like, no. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Do it.
It took me a year, I think, to finally sit down and watch it.
I know. And then after you did, you're like, oh my God.
And then I made
like,
a whole collection.
I know.
Yeah, you literally designed a whole collection.
Literally, the models were like descending into madness as the show went on because it was like, you know, like being crazy and theatrical as you do when you first finish design school.
Of course. Fired all your cannons.
Oh, yes.
Fired all your guns at once.
Oh, yes.
You just learned you have these guns. You might as well. You literally. Figure out. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Going for it. Well, that's a great book.
I have another one, but you have another book in front of you that is a.
All three of us have.
I think we've all read it.
I think I read it in about 10 minutes.
Yes.
I read it very, very quickly.
I have the hardcover version because as soon as it came out, I didn't even wait for the paperback. I don't buy hardcovers, and I absolutely got the hardcover of this one. It's the Grace Coddington autobiography called Grace, a Memoir. And it's a beautiful giant orange book with her.
Because
she's a big orange-haired lady. And for the uninitiated, first of all, welcome. I was going to tell you to fuck off, and then I was like, you know
where
what?
Where the hell have you been?
We're inclusive here. We're like everybody in this podcast. So yes, come on over. Learn who Grace Coddington is. She is, or was, until very recently, one of the editors and style mavens of Vogue magazine, both British Vogue and American Vogue.
For years.
For like 40 years. And she's a very understated, soft-spoken,
Coolest lady ever?
Cool lady, super nice. Like, yeah. Everybody says how nice she is. And she also, and she worked with Anna Wintour for, I don't know, 30 of those 40 years or 25 of those 40 years. And they played off each other. And they found a way to work together, the two of them having this relationship where Anna Wintour was the hard ass and she was the sweetheart. And they did some of the best work the fashion has ever seen.
And if you haven't seen the September issue, pause right now. Go watch it. I think it's still on Netflix.
Yeah, I think so.
It's available on iTunes or something.
Yeah, it's definitely on YouTube. I think you can actually
watch it. It's in the firmament.
Yes, absolutely. And you can see their dynamic a little bit, or you can see how different they are. But she has this fascinating life. She grew up in Wales in the middle of nowhere, and then went to London in the 60s and became a model, maybe from the 50s, in the 60s. And did a whole bunch of modeling. And
she used to, like, there's this great anecdote about, like, waiting for the fashion magazines to arrive in this little, you know, bumfuck town that she grew up in, where there was no like general store. Like, there was, you didn't get a subscription.
And like, they were like 6 months behind or.
Yeah. Yeah. And she had to wait, and she would just devour these magazines, and she finally was old enough and she left her little rinky dink town in Wales and went to London and became a super successful model, and then was in a car crash and had this weird like facial injuries, and then her modeling career was over. And then she ended up doing like stylists and stuff, like on the inside of magazine and publishing and stuff. And then, you know, she was in London in the 60s. Need I say more?
Yeah, she worked for Vogue in London in the 60s
and 70s. So she's been married a few times. She's had all these lovers. She's got kids. She's obsessed with cats. She loves her cats. She has one son, I think.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. I had affairs with like super, the guy who like started Mr. Chow restaurant, which is like a huge deal. She was like in a relationship with him for a long time.
She was like a foot and a half taller than him. And,
the stories of working and traveling, and she created, like, she invented contemporary fashion editorial photography, essentially, like the storylines and the narratives and like this whole take on how the whole, you know, 10-page editorial all flows together. And, you know, she took what Diana Vreeland was doing and took it to the next level, and fascinating stuff. And the book itself is full of her little drawings. Like, she has all these pen drawings. You open up the front cover and it's a whole bunch of people sitting in the front row of a fashion show, and it's Susie Menkes and it's Franca Sozzani and Hamish Bowles and Andre Leon Talley, like all these stalwarts of the fashion industry, and she's drawn little portraits of all of them. And then throughout the book there's pictures of her cat, pictures of her getting attacked by a swan. I just happened to flip through, I guess that's a memory of her doing a shoot with Helmut Newton, I'm guessing. Drawings of herself, drawings of her family, drawings of adventures. And then also, just like many good books have, there's a bunch of color photos interspersed throughout of her childhood and her family, of her modeling work, of her editorial work, of her personal, like, private pictures of things. And it's just fascinating. I mean, you look at this cover of her first British Vogue cover, 1962. She's a goddamn dream.
Mm.
She's Auburn, and she's dream. Like, she's quite iconic as being this like kind of crazy cat lady, but with this
kooky lady with giant hair, and
she sort of adopted this sort of uniform, like kind of like Anna Wintour, Andre Leon Talley. Like, you sort of take this
persona,
this image of yourself on. And
you can draw her with like six lines and you would know who she was. Like, that's how much her image is.
Yeah.
You know,
she's got solidified. This big curly hair that is always like blow dried out and really big and sort of triangular. And she just has the greatest, like, to sit down and have a conversation with Grace Coddington would be a complete dream.
And not she even talking have, about fashion, like talking no, about anything.
She just has been around and seen so many changes and so many
and
things.
And she just
happen.
Seems like a delightful, funny. And also the fact that she's, you know, older too. Like, I don't know how old she is. She's probably in her 70s or something, I'm guessing now. But she has that retrospection you know, like that self-awareness and that retrospection and also really good sense of humor about herself and about the industry. And like, you would not get that vibe from Anna Wintour at all.
No, we should have her on the podcast.
We should give her a call.
Great. Be great. Grace, if you're listening, open invite anytime. Yeah. Anytime.
Figure it out. Time zones. Make it work. Technology. We'll do stuff. This. It's fine. We'll figure it out. But anyway, it's a big book, but it's full of pictures, but it's very easy read.
I read it so quick and then I was like, I got to read this again.
I'm even now thinking about it. Like, I've already read it twice, but I'd all would like to, because I read it when it first came out and then I read it like maybe 2 years later. And then now just talking about it tonight, I was like, oh shit. I was like, Googling, like on the Wikipedia too late, trying to refresh my memory. I'm like, I'm just going to read it again.
Yeah.
I know I can't read it again before 7:30 when we record, but I'm going to read this again because it's great. And it sits by my bedroom, my bed. Like, all the books are away, but this is one that I keep out because I just like looking at it and leafing through it every once in a while.
You could honestly just open it up and start a chapter and kill a chapter.
It's totally fine. Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to miss anything. You're not going to be out of place.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a good story. So she's so great.
That was my, when we said this was the episode we were going to do, I was like, that is my book. Probably should have checked that one of you didn't also choose that as your book, because there's a good chance that one of you might have also chosen this as
Well,
your
I
book.
Brought options for that reason.
Yep. So, yep. That's mine.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite fashion books.
Does Anna Wintour have a memoir? That would be a fun one.
No. That's going to come out.
She's so private.
She's probably written it already, and it's going to get published after she's dead. Probably. I'm thinking.
Could be.
Yeah. Or like, whenever she decides to leave Vogue, she'll probably write something.
I was thinking the other day, is she ever going to retire, or is she just going to die at her desk?
It could be either.
I don't know. That's a terribly morbid thing to think.
I don't know. Like,
I bet she'd retire.
I think she'll retire too.
Yeah.
She's been at the game for
a long
fucking time.
I also feel like she is in a position where she would like to enjoy her,
rest of her
retirement.
Life, yeah.
And where retirement means she's not doing the same thing she's been doing at Vogue. Her retirement is she's working full time at the Met.
Definitely.
She's working, you know, somewhere else, doing philanthropic stuff or whatever.
Other something.
She's doing more like business.
And she'll have a say of who succeeds her.
Totally.
I really hope it's the woman of color who's currently the head of Teen Vogue.
Oh. Ooh. Interesting.
There's some good shit happening.
Think about
at Teen
that.
Vogue.
A black woman as the editor in chief of American Vogue.
Pretty rad.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Ugh, I'm overcome.
Anyway, hey, there's a black dude at the head at British Vogue now, so let's see. Hit her down a full, let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. You'll see him in September issue as an assistant. And what was that, less than a decade ago? And now he's the editor of British Vogue?
Mm-hmm. Who is he in? Which part?
He's like a bald black guy with glasses.
He's one of the editors, yeah.
Yeah, he's just one of the guys who works there. I've been following
Grace
his very
delightful
Instagram.
Really need to stand up for yourself. That's the only way you're going to get anything done.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He obviously took her advice.
Oh, definitely.
Advice.
Yes.
That's pretty great. What about you? What about, you probably have 40,000.
I'm going to try and, I have a million. We could be here forever. But I'll stick to one theme. The theme of Deanna Vreeland.
Oh,
okay.
I have read her memoirs.
Do you have copy? I would like to read that.
I do. Yeah, I have Allure.
You have copy?
Yes.
You have copy?
Ken
me
has.
Too?
Ken has copy.
Yeah, I have Allure, and then there's another one. I think it might just be called DV. And if you've ever seen Tu Wong Fu, you'll notice that when there's like that, there's the boy in the haberdashery, and he's just reading it, and he's trying to get over his lisp, and he's just like, hats for career girls. And I say that every time someone has something to say about hats, it's like, I need to pick up a new hat. Hats for career girls. And I think that was a thing, like when we were in school, me and Claire, former guest, we would always talk about that. And I don't know.
She also
just
liked
like
that
something.
Movie.
She's well versed in Kung Fu.
Well versed in drags.
Yeah.
And Deanna Vreeland. Yeah, but I didn't bring them today, unfortunately. But there's one that's a companion book, coffee table book, to the Eye Has to Travel.
Oh,
and it's,
really?
And it's basic. Yeah.
How am I just learning about this now? I feel like such a fraud.
My brother got it for Christmas a couple years ago. Thank you, Justin. Because he knew that I was obsessed with the documentary. I made him watch it.
Lesbians.
Say lesbian.
Lesbian. Again, if you haven't watched it, get the fuck, get your shit together. Come on.
Yeah, so it's like every, like all of the editorials that they talk about in the documentary and any moments in particular, there's like the photos printed in the book with like an accompaniment. And
oh, awesome.
Her daughter-in-law, Lisa Imordino Vreeland, she's the one who created and wrote the excerpts in the book.
Oh, sweet.
That is, how did I not know about that?
I have no idea.
What's wrong with us?
You know why? It's because the Chapters downtown got turned into a sport check. We used to be able to go in and look at the whole section of fashion books because it was this massive store. And now it's a sport check and you can't even get a goddamn bathing suit there.
What?
I hate it. You can't get a good bathing suit. You can get
a bunch of shitty shoes, probably.
You can get all the shoes you want. You cannot get a bathing suit that
makes your ass look good.
That makes your ass look good. That makes you look like you're anything other than 15, and actually be able to swim a lap and look cute. Like,
yeah. Sure.
Don't get me started.
Why would you want dumpy butt in a fucking bathing suit? Right? Or even like, this is the thing that I just tried on bathing suits, and I am not a person who. Like, I'm really fucking skinny.
You don't require much.
And I put on a bathing suit, and like, the elastic was around my ass, and it put a dent in, like, and I'm like, what is this?
You barely even have an ass.
Exactly.
I don't care for it.
I'm sure, like, maybe my ass is too long, which is probably the case.
Well, maybe.
A little bit of long butt situation.
Yes, what you need actually is a thong bikini.
Yeah, I mean, like.
Or cheeky, whatever cheeks are, whatever they call them.
But yeah, so Deanna Vreeland. And then moving on to another book called Memos, which is just...
Oh my God, because she was crazy about her memos.
If you've ever seen Funny Face, the editor in Funny Face is based off of Deanna Vreeland, is played by Kay Thompson, who was the writer of the Eloise books, another obsession of mine.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, Londi sounds like a real hag.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hag if I ever heard one.
So Deanna Vreeland was notorious for writing these insane memos to her staff.
All the time.
Yeah. Like one of them is just, it's like five lines, it's like two little lines, and it's like, for immediate release to all styling staff, we are in desperate need of white socks for the fall editorials. DV. And then there's another one. There's this amazing, like, then there'll be like this chronicle of them trying to find the right backdrop for a photo. And she's like, I want billiard table green for this backdrop. And then she replies like, I've just saw the photos and they only need to be reshot because it's not what I want. And they're like, okay, we'll reshoot it again.
With a different green.
And then she's like, you know what? This is not anything about what I want. Like, why can't you get this right? And then they reply, we literally took a billiard table apart
and used it
as the backdrop. And she's like, I do not want a billiard table in particular. I want the idea of a billiard table green.
And the green, that feeling that it emotes exactly. When you look at it.
It was like when she was talking about like traveling to Russia. Like, she has no interest in traveling. Yeah.
I love Russia.
But she loves the idea she has of Russia. She has no interest in actually seeing the reality of it.
Yeah.
Because why would you want to?
No.
Why would you want to see a green of a billiard table when I have the idea of a green billiard table?
Exactly. That was this woman.
Beautiful. So this is a whole book.
A whole book of, it's like all of the memos. And then amazing. And then maybe sometimes if she's talking about a particular image, just being like, there's one where they photograph Barbara Streisand, and she's like, I really don't like the angle you shot Barbara at. She needs to be photographed exactly in the profile. We need to be showing off her nose and all these things. Like, it's so beautiful. Why would we not shoot her this way? Done. And then there's the finished photo
of
Barbara.
That famous photo of Barbara Streisand.
Her
profile.
With the profile and her finger at the tip of her nose.
The Nefertiti nose.
Exactly.
Awesome.
A million things. And it's beautiful. It's just like white pages and then like a smack of a photo, like every now and then. And it's like the real memo that's been photocopied.
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's just called Memos.
It's just called Deanna Vreeland Memos, it's called.
Amazing.
And I think that might have been curated by her family as well.
Amazing that they still have those.
This is so great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sharing them. And how many people have read this book now?
You know? Well, they were all on file at Condé Nast.
Sure. Of course they were. They were official documents on letterhead and stuff, right?
They were corporate documents.
when they get audited, they're going to want to know.
Yeah.
All about the White Sox and how many billiard tables they took apart.
Yeah.
She must have cost that company a goddamn fortune.
Oh, never get. She'd never get away with anything she did now. It would all be not considered PC and like.
Oh, God, no.
All these things.
Especially not in the last 10 years. Holy shit. Yeah. Maybe before 2008, but not now.
Yeah. But like, I mean, like, just when you, like, the thing that always, that I always come back to with Deanna Vreeland is that when you look at the things that she did for the magazine, she pushed fashion forward into the future within 20 years. So just like, it, like, everything,
less,
like
less than
it
a
was
lifetime.
Like light speed in 20 years. There was people of color in the magazine. There was representation of different types of beauty. There was different...
Asian people.
Exactly.
Friggin' Asian people weren't
involved at all.
Involved in... Yeah. In Western magazines, essentially.
Yeah. And then that beautiful photograph, the beautiful photography series where they shot fur in Japan.
Yeah.
And that beautiful Japanese man who was like almost 7 feet tall that they just plucked out of nowhere and put him in the
and
photos. And it was amazing.
With Varushka and hanging out.
Yeah. It's just like things like that would never happen anymore.
The fantasy and the, yeah.
And it like, it had like this naivete about it. That
they're just doing what they're doing.
Well,
what do you mean?
It was before
fashion became...
I don't think it was
a I think it was like a disregard of the establishment.
Like, yeah. Like it felt a bit more punk rock now.
Totally.
And
yeah.
Now when...
The opposite of that now.
Like when fucking... What's her name? Gigi Hadid and that old boy bander, they are touted as like this gender...
Oh God, gender queer,
or gender
whatever.
Queer, like, or this,
she
like,
wears his clothes.
Yeah, it's just so reductive, and it reduces these people to something that, oh my God, I got a whole thing about it. I got, don't even get me started.
And maybe we need to steal that Stop Podcasting Yourself segment of Don't Get Me Started.
Yeah.
They haven't done it in a while. Maybe we can co-opt it.
It's the difference between the two now.
Because, and I also think that the fact that fashion has become so much more corporate and everything is done for
profit.
The bottom line and done for profit. It's like, oh, this is a thing that's trendy among the youth who are buying magazines. Oh,
let's
we need to co-opt
it
and we need to capitalize on this thing when it's someone's
but not
identity.
Change it or use it or flip it on its
or
head or anything.
Or even bother to fully interested. Understand what it means.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Just capitalize on a hashtag, basically.
Yeah.
It's like reducing it to a hashtag.
Look, this we got hashtags now.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Yeah.
Look how progressive and youthful
Vogue,
there.
Who is like literally 15 years behind on the digital revolution.
Get it together, Vogue. Yeah. Come on. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Deanna Vreeland.
Had every time in many, many ways.
Mm-hmm. What about, do you have any like novels?
Novels?
Well, or I guess it would be like a memoir or something. Cause,
but even that, it could be fiction or anything too,
I'm thinking
right?
Like not like a coffee table book.
Yeah, I think, I really don't know, but there was this series of like historical fiction that I read when I was younger. And it was all based on like just like princesses and like royalty and women of note throughout history, but as they were, when they were younger, like in like a, as a teenager.
Mm.
So it was like in a diary type form. So it would be like you could read one that was like Marie Antoinette or Anne Boleyn or like this certain princess from an African
one of the
tribe,
Medici ladies
or the Medici's
whatever, yeah.
Or like from all of, basically royalty or people of status from all over the world. And they would talk so intently about what they wore.
Oh,
and
wow.
How that like tied. And it was such like a visceral thing.
Sure.
I can't remember what they're called or if they're even still in print, but I probably have like a stack of about 20 of them at my house. My parents' house. Yeah. And I just remember like learning what ermine was.
Oh, sure.
Like an ermine shawl. Like when Anne Boleyn was talking about how she was going to get her head chopped off and what she was wearing.
Oh my God, imagine that conversation.
She's like writing it in. She's like, this is my last entry I'll be making. I'm about to take the podium to be beheaded.
Here's what I'm wearing.
Here's what I'm going to wear. Yeah.
She sounds like a true fashion egg too.
Oh yes. She's like, I'm about to die, but here's the look.
But listen, honeys, fucking ermine. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. It's the shit.
She's, yeah, I'm like in, I think this is like a true historical thing too. She wore the dress that she wore the first time she met Henry VIII.
Oh, really?
To be beheaded, yeah.
Oh.
That's pretty good. I love anecdotes
such a powerful move.
The Royal
without
Diaries?
Saying anything. I think it's the Royal Diaries, yeah.
Some quick Googling and not come up with the Princess Diaries, which is another thing.
Yeah, that's completely different.
It's like,
not the same.
How did anybody know I was not a homosexual back in the
day? Come on.
They all knew.
Oh, yeah.
If you are curious, by the way, of like a good place to start looking at coffee table books and fashion books that are purely, well, not purely, but mostly visual or based on visuals, Rizzoli, the publisher, the publishing company, publishes these beautiful, amazing books. Lots of them are fashion. Lots of them are travel. Lots of them are art.
Architecture.
It's like this, yeah. It's just a good publisher. They got a bunch of shit.
They got lots of good shit. So check out Rizzoli.
There's also Faden. Instagram,
actually. I wonder. Oh, yeah.
Faden.
Yes, yeah. That's excellent. They got beautiful, beautiful books.
There's a lot. The other one that I talked about was the our textbook, our costume history textbook.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A survey of historic costume.
Yeah. And that one is like, feels pretty textbooky, but they do not leave a single stone unturned.
No.
Like, I feel, well, I should say it's a white perspective. Let's get serious.
Put it that way. Yeah.
It's a colonial perspective, to be sure. But it starts at year zero and runs right up until 20 minutes ago. Well, whenever it was published. But anyway,
sure. Modern fashion, good, which has really just been rehashing itself for the last 100 years.
Yes, 20 years, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. 20 years over and over again.
Yeah.
It's a good... If you want to win trivia,
sure,
with your friends, arguments, about what kind
cool
of color
stories, yeah,
that is, or why the lapel runs different on men's and women's blouses, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
All that kind of shit. That's
a the use of a all cravat.
All the kinds, yeah, of bustles.
Oh my God.
All
the bustles. I remember the other day was pétalaire.
Oh, yes.
The pétalaire.
I can't remember exactly what it was. I remember
clopines. Which were the giant, like, stacked shoes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that.
Like, the big wooden shoes, the clopines, that when it was, like, all the streets were made of mud and stuff, they wore big wooden shoes.
Oh, yes.
Like, almost like a pedestal on them, so their feet and dresses didn't touch the disgusting shit-covered ground.
You know what? The other one that I like is that high heel shoes were never intended to be worn outside of riding a horse. It was for riding horses, so your feet would stick into the stirrups. But you were never supposed to, they were not designed to be worn.
Walked around
walking
in.
Walking.
Yeah.
And guess what? Now you can't go to a fucking fashion show without.
You can't go anywhere. Oh, boy.
You can't serve at Joey's restaurants without fucking
Oh, God.
Except actually not in BC. They changed that law. Thank God.
Oh, thank God.
Yet I always see servers wearing heels.
Hmm. But they can't be forced to wear heels. You can wear them, but you can't mandate that they wear them for their job.
Okay.
But the motherfucking patriarchy says you've got to wear them, so yeah, get more tips. They got heels on, so.
Oh, God.
You can't win. Yeah. Even when you win, you still can't win.
No. Systemic.
It's internalized systemic misogyny, systemic patriarchal bullshit. Don't get me started.
I'm sensing a theme.
Positively and negatively, don't get us started because you'll never hear the end of it.
By the way, I just looked up Rizzoli Books on Instagram and it looks pretty good. Probably worth...
On Instagram?
Oh, a good old checkout.
Nice!
Yeah. I bet Faden has a good one too, but I'll look that up later. But...
You have another book sitting in front of you. What is that one?
Oh, yeah. So this one, when I first moved out to Vancouver to go to fashion school, my former employers got this book for me as a departing gift. And it's called Vintage Fashion. And it's by... foreword is by Zandra Rhodes. And it's like a collection of images and sort of historical pieces. And it's sort of, I don't know if it's one person single collection or whatever, but it's all these vintage fashions. And it breaks down some details of these absolutely amazing pieces and like close-up photos of embroidery and beading and all these, you know, this general sort of style trends of different eras of, you know, the 1910s and 20s and 30s and blah, 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 and Hollywood and the 80s and big shoulders and why it was like that. And so it's more of like an era-based thing. And it goes up, I think it goes up to the 80s because 90s, with the time this was published, was not vintage yet.
Yes.
Which now it sort of weirdly can be.
It's vintage?
Sort of.
I think it's like 20 to 25 years.
I'm not ready for 90s stuff to be vintage yet. In any case...
It's very cool.
Very cool. And it has like key points of the 80s and, you know, big shoulders and big skirts and Christian Lacroix and, you know, Dior in the 50s and like all this kind of.
Yeah, all the broad strokes and the big items and yeah.
And like punk, the punk movement and how that changed things and streetwear and, you know, caring cool. and Jean-Paul Gaultier, like all this sort of, all kind of levels of fashion for that era and why it was important, how it made it to the runway and or not.
Yeah.
And it's just a really good kind of flip through kind of, and some really amazing pieces that they have, like close-ups on some crazy print or some crazy embroidery detail or space age in the 60s, like just sort of this awesome. Weird shit. And it's not like a super gigantic book that'll take up 10 pounds of your coffee table, but.
Sure, or that'll cost you an arm and a leg. Because some of these books are like hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds of dollars.
Some of these giant coffee table books.
I got a book for Christmas a few years ago from my now husband. He was not my husband at the time. But it's just the Vogue. It's just called Vogue Collection or the Vogue.
I think I have the same one.
And it's this big black and white. It's a Rizzoli. And
Sheila Campbell bought me that one for my birthday a few years ago.
Yeah. And it's
because it's a great book.
I was like, I'm not going to bring this one. It's way too heavy to cart around. But it lives on my coffee table. Or like, you know, in my living room on display.
Yeah, mine's in my living room.
Yeah. And it's great. And it has all these really famous and iconic shoots and editorials.
Covers
and who was shooting what and
the models of the time and yeah.
Because, I mean, fashion is such a visual thing often that you can't.
And magazines are so like ephemeral. Ephemeral?
Yeah, it's like a blip.
Yeah, like some people beat magazines, but the whole purpose of magazines is to not have them around. Like you read them, you consume them and pass them on. Or
they're disposable.
Yeah, exactly. So to have something like this where you can catalog them all and look at them and.
In nice, crisp, beautiful pages.
Smell good. And nice. Yeah. Oh, also we talked about substitutes. I also want to mention one of our, again, this is more of a textbook, but one of our fashion, again, we'll post pictures of this because it's unfucking real. One of our pattern drafting books that has the fucking dopest illustrations like 80s inside.
80s fashion illustration.
It's like a book that tells you how to draft patterns for a whole bunch of different collars, a whole bunch of different skirts, all these different, you take the basic shape and then you switch it over here, you add this, you flip, you slice, whatever, and it just tells you all the steps to do to change a design feature on a garment or something.
It was the textbook that was way better than our actual textbook that half of us went out and bought it instead.
Because it was great.
Yeah.
And they've since changed it, as I've been told. The newer editions have the newer illustrations that are much more contemporary. But these, like...
Oh, they were so good.
Giant hair, fucking flounces everywhere. Like, the outfits and the poses.
Super stylized, super, like, angular, weird.
Think, like, Gem in the Holograms.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, like, more...
if that's possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
That 80s style, but we're blanking on the person who invented that, like... It's like the Duran Duran cover. There's a cover, the album cover that has that sort of illustration on it. And what's that? There's a cartoon recently where Rob Lowe does the voice and it's some Midnight City or some shit. And it's all that style of animation all over again. Anyway, this book is a fucking trip. It's also a great book.
It's a very helpful, useful.
Yes.
And fucking cool. Patrick Nagel.
There you go.
Nagel, I'm probably whatever mispronouncing that is. In any case, 80s. It was very...
It's all over it.
It's also the one that you see at, like, on hair salons when they have it updated there. They're, like, painted on imagery of their on their windows.
The haircuts you can get.
You know, 25 years?
Yeah.
It's that.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
So we'll have a flip through and we'll find some choice.
Yeah, there's a good one.
There's a lot to choose from. So we'll find some real winners for you. I think there is a bunch in the flounce section and ruffle section, I remember, that are like outstanding. And it's not even the clothes. It's like the hair and the earrings and the poses and,
the poses.
It's outstanding.
We'll take some shots.
Yes.
Anyway.
We
are out of time. Just like that again, always.
Oh, we'll have to do this topic again and talk about more books.
We'll have to give Evan a different theme for the next time. Because
he's got more.
Forever.
Exactly.
But we're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back to Obsessed.
Oh, yeah. All right, we're back. And I found more books. A couple other books. I found a book that Katie gave me called 100 Dresses. And it's from the Metropolitan Museum of contemporary, whatever the fuck.
Fashions fade, style is eternal.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a beautiful, it's a paperback book, and it's about 100 different dresses, like the the Neptune dress that Dior did, and a whole bunch of like probably Worth dresses and things, and then some.
I know, we're like, Dior. We gotta put this down because we'll just be here.
We're gonna be here all night, so we're just gonna have to do another episode about this sometime because we got a lot to talk about. Apparently,
I mean.
Well, yeah, and we didn't even really get into, we talked briefly about that pattern drafting book, but that's not even like the professional books that are also super interesting, even if you're not necessarily a sewer. Like, there's some really cool shit happening in some of these, like the Japanese pattern drafting books have all the weird colors, like the three-dimensional pattern and stuff. And anyway, you'll get me started.
Don't get us started.
Maybe that's the feature image this time, because we've only said it about a million times. But now we can obsess about things. Who wants to go first? Evan, you go first. I'm choosing you. I nominate you.
First of all, this season of Game of Thrones.
Ugh.
Just quickly.
There's a bunch of shit happening.
I'm too obsessed with it.
We can't do anything.
You are?
Okay. I know Katie isn't caught up.
I also skipped a huge section in there in the middle.
Yeah, you're fine.
Maybe spoiler alert, but
just as long as you watch like the previously on Game of Thrones, you're going to be caught up in.
That's what Wikipedia's
for. Contexts, yeah.
It has a extremely thorough Wikipedia. You're going to be fine.
Yeah. I think when I started watching Game of Thrones, I had the Wikipedia open at the same time. So,
so you can who is this guy? What? How's that related?
How is this person? What's Winterfell?
Yeah. Is Winterfell a person? Or is that their name?
Wasn't she in 300? I had to keep it all open the whole time.
It's pretty great. I'm wondering what's going to happen. Some crazy shit happening. I don't know if I agree with all of it.
Is it still like girl power time or is it?
A little bit.
A little bit.
It's kind of fizzling, but we'll see.
Oh, no. Okay.
There's time. Oh, yeah. I think there's one or two more episodes of this season and then the next season's going to come back.
Everyone's in like war mode.
And high collars, long sleeves, dark colors, power.
Metal.
Like, armor.
Like Sansa's insane like leather corset.
Your
thing,
big
like
fucking
a belt.
Giant capes and shit.
Ugh.
So all of good. Cersei's looks. I mean, it's the all same one again and again, but they're slightly different, but they're also fucking great.
Yeah. Oh. Because Cersei is like, she's like a stone fortress. Like, because you can see how, like, a lot of characters, I've done like kind of some incense. Research into how they design costumes for each character. Like Sansa usually wears her hair the way she, like by the person who's inspiring her at that moment. Or she's
changed
her,
like, well, she used to wear her hair northern style. And then when she went to King's Landing, she wore it southern style.
Yeah, like the way that Cersei wore it, like those crazy like buns and stuff like that. And then a couple of episodes ago where she said that she learned a lot from Cersei, you'll notice that she's wearing her hair the way that Cersei wore it before.
She had that super bad wig, and now she's got the current super bad wig. So see, your hair is atrush.
It is, right?
It's super atrush.
I thought so too, but I was like,
episode, it was better.
It was better, yeah.
But it wasn't great.
Honestly, they should have just made her cut her hair and dye it blonde.
Seriously, come on. Yeah,
but like getting that weird gold.
They're not paying you enough to just fucking cut your hair off. Anyway.
But
don't get me started on Cersei's hair.
The wigs alone
on Game of Thrones.
Yes, but the outfits have been stellar.
So good.
Stellar.
Like all of like the dragon hair on Daenerys and like
the metal
dragon like snaking up the front, like the brooch on the shoulder with like the dragon scale pleated chiffon, silk thing in the back.
Mm-hmm. You'll see it in a couple episodes. Right.
So good. Right. Yeah.
We're not revealing anything. Talking about her weird like drapey thing.
Yeah, it's just drapey cape. But to switch gears a smidge. My current obsession is the Queer Film Festival happening here in Vancouver.
Just shifting gears a smidge.
Just a smidge.
It's not that big of a smidge. Are you kidding?
I mean, it's wigs still visual. It's still wigs. There's still looks. There's still film.
Still fierceness.
And that's awesome. It's happening right now. It's happening now in Vancouver.
And you said your brother was involved.
My brother is working on it. He's a programming coordinator.
Beautiful.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So he's fully becoming executive realness. I went to the opening gala the other day with my mom, and he was like in a suit jacket with like a name tag, and I had like a proud moment. I had to be chill because he gets like, he doesn't like to be like fawned over, you know. So
and you're just swooning
and I'm just like, oh my god,
oh my god, your baby brother's growing up.
Me and my mom are both like.
Only dogs can hear you guys exactly. talking so high.
Or squeaking. Yeah.
Oh, and your mom is like the sweetest, like most supportive.
Literally.
Like just
nicest lady.
Just the nicest. She'll have like the nicest. She'll be telling you the nicest thing about yourself, and she'll have tears yeah. down her face as she says it. You're like, oh, Deanna, I love you too.
Literally.
Hi, Deanna. You're the sweetest.
Yeah. She's an avid listener of the Hags. But I'm going to be attending, this will have already happened because we're in the time machine, but there's an Indigifem night of 10 short films
that oh,
I'm
cool.
going to be attending on Tuesday, which is the day before this comes out. So I'm really excited to attend that and see like a queer indigenous perspective. And
you wouldn't know anything about that.
Oh, what yeah, do you mean? It's not like it's going to speak to you or anything.
Not at all. It's not like it's my entire existence.
Where is it showing?
That one will be at the Van City Theater, but the film festival is happening at theaters all over the city. Sweet. I think it's like 6 different theaters and programming from all over the world. And this, the theme this year is love and resistance.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Cool.
That sounds right up your
compelling.
Alley.
Oh, yes.
It's amazing. Like the imagery is like a fist, like the resistance fist, but it's a heart because your heart is the size of your fist.
It is.
This little guy.
Yeah.
Right there.
Wow. That's really amazing. Beautiful.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day. You guys, it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Truly, I don't mean to take away from that. I think that actually is a really beautiful image.
Yeah. And that this whole film festival was really great. I don't know if I'd ever heard of it before.
Yeah, this has been going on forever.
Yeah. It sounds like something I can't imagine this is the first time.
No, I don't know,
this is the first time because you posted maybe Justin posted pictures of a drag show and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I shared some Insta videos of the drag performers and the burlesque performers at the opening. Oh my God, I wore like the corset from the last show, cinched to the gods, and I bought these new boots that Justin calls my Lucy Liu boots.
Oh.
They're like the boots that they wore in Charlie's Angels. They're like a chunky heel and like a bit of like an ankle and like a black suede rounded toe, like very 90s.
Mm.
Like that early 2000s era, and like they were like kicking ass in these boots, and like nice. I totally get that like kick-ass bitch vibe when I wear
like
them.
Kind of like 70s. Like,
yeah, totally.
But then redone
modernized,
in the 90s.
Yeah.
And now
redone
again. Yeah. Yeah. Because 20 years later.
Because that's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been two 20-year gaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everything's cyclical and it all comes back.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Cool. So, well, good for Justin. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's my obsession.
Does it, will it run, how like does it run, you know?
We could do a quick Google. I feel like we really should plug it properly.
Everybody get out your phones right now, listeners.
Hot minute. We're just going to do a quick Google. But like the programming is so varied and amazing, like from all different perspectives. White gay male perspectives.
So on to the 20th.
Like male POC perspectives, trans perspectives from all over the world. Bisexual and asexual. All the LGBTQIA two-spiritedness.
Yes.
All the wonderful
The 10th
things.
To the 20th. So by the time this episode comes out, it will be...
No, there'll still be a couple. There'll still be a few days.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
You guys, what day is it? You guys, what are we doing?
Yes, there will be. Yeah.
There'll still be 3 days left.
Yes. So awesome. This will come out on the 16th, so there'll still be 1, 2, 3,
so check
4 days
it
left.
Out. There's a bunch of shit happening.
Cool, cool, cool.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Abby, are you obsessed with anything?
I am currently obsessed with telling people to get bent. This is my new thing.
Oh, get bent. That's a real good one.
I'll get bent. Because I love it because I can kind of say it in front of my kids.
And it means something.
But it also has like...
That throwback.
But like the feeling is good.
Yeah.
Like I'm telling you to go fuck yourself. But I'm like, oh, get bent.
Yeah.
I wonder where that... expression came from.
It feels very surfery.
I have not heard it in so long.
It feels like Valley Girl, like night, like clueless.
Like,
or like Heathers or something.
Maybe more Heathers. Yeah.
We'll have to
What's
see.
Your damage,
but it's been
Heather?
Super Gabby with a satisfying. Yeah. Get bent. So that's one of my minor obsessions. And my other obsession, I have it here. I bought this really cool makeup.
Ooh.
From this local company called Pink House. And they're made here, I think in Abbotsford, which is like one of the suburbs here. It's up the valley. And it's this cool, I was looking at the same product, the beauty supplier Glossier.
Is that Glossier?
Glossier. They just started shipping to Canada. So I was looking at all their stuff and they have amazing reviews and a whole bunch of, like my American friends love it. And they, you know, and they just started, I think if you bought two things, you got free shipping or something on it. So I was looking at stuff and I found these really, it's like a giant lip.
Is it a lip situation? Chapstick?
It can be. It can be a bunch of things.
Oh, it's called a glow stick.
So it's called a glow stick. Sure.
I don't know how to makeup, so tell me.
This might actually be up your alley, and it comes in probably about 7 or 8 different colors, too.
Okay.
I'm just going to swatch it for you guys real quick. It.
Yeah. And it looks like a giant.
It's very pigmented, lipstick, guys.
But it's all natural. Like, it's made with, like, beeswax and coconut oil and, like, swatch natural it. Organic. Like, it doesn't really have a smell. And I bought the blush color. But I was switching. There's a champagne one that's really
rosé.
Nice. Oh, rosé. Sorry. Or maybe I was going between the blush and the rosé. And it's got a tiny bit of shimmer in it. And you can use it as blush. Ooh. You can use it as lip gloss. You can use it as a highlighter. You can like just put it anywhere on your face. And you can put it's so easy to put on a tiny bit.
This would be cute for eyes too.
And then it's nice. You can also like put on a bunch and have like a really... Like, if you wanted to put this on your eyes, you could have a really nice shimmery, creamy eye. Put it on a brush or something, or put it on your lips. But then I just, like, slather it on my face and then just rub it in, and it makes a really nice blush. And it's also nice if you don't have, like, a full face on either. Like, you don't need to put it on.
It starts really pigmented, but then when you blend it,
The more you rub it, the more it blends, and it's super easy to use. I've used it with brushes. I've used it with just my fingers, and it's like all coconut oil, like coconut
and like shea butter, and
yeah. So it's like as soon as you hold it in your hand, it becomes really workable,
malleable, yeah.
And then you put like a setting powder on top, and it totally stays put.
Bang a ring,
yeah. Hook is back on Netflix if you're interested, if you're talking about Bang Ring.
I've been saying Bang Ring for a long time, and I'm not going to stop right now.
I'll say Get Bent, you say Get Bang Ring.
I like it.
But anyway, Pink House Organics.
How many dollars?
Like $22 or something, and this thing will last you forever. It'll
literally last you a year.
Yeah. And I've already used it a bunch, and you can barely even tell. I only got it like a week
also ago. Like, if you just like take like, if you literally just like swipe your finger on it and just pat it, it's perfect for a highlighter.
It's beautiful. And they have like a really, like this is a really pink one, but they had other ones that were, there's like a frosty one and the champagne one that are just more. For highlighting. Like they don't have much of a pink color. Like there's a really orange one and a really pink one and a really pale. Like there's a bunch of different colors. They're really cool.
Do they go dark?
Yeah, there were some really like bronzy ones too. Mm-hmm. Like a really dark bronze color that would probably look good on olive or darker skin tones. Mm-hmm. Like I was telling the lady, I'm like, I am pale as fuck. So I'm always worried about having, especially looking a product red. Like this that you can put too much on and just have look like Dana Vreeland.
Yeah.
Like just way too much blush on.
Like blush from your eye, like from your earlobe to like
the corner of your mouth.
Yeah.
And the line. Trixie Mattel style.
Literally. Isn't that contouring? Isn't that what contouring is?
You could probably do some like contouring with the highlighter at ones of these. But anyway, it's a great, and it's a local company, and it's totally organic and awesome. And they have these beautiful face sprays and lip glosses and bath bombs and stuff. I want to get some of their other products. But I was looking at these online, but I didn't want to buy it online if I didn't see the color, you know? But now that I've seen them.
I'm tasting it. It tastes great.
Did you see them?
They have them at The Juicery.
What?
Which is up on Main Street. They also have them at Nettle's Tail, which is down in Gastown.
Oh, that, I know that spot.
Yep. And a couple other places. Anyway, Pink House Organics is the name of the brand. They
get on it before Gwyneth Paltrow ruins it.
Yeah, they ship too. So if you want them anywhere, I'm sure they ship to the States and international. I don't know if that's something you're in with. But anyway, Pink House Organics, I'm obsessed.
It's a good one. Yeah, I like it. I like that color.
It's a lovely one.
I just bought a new highlighter and now I'm regretting it because it's like has a bunch of ingredients in it that I can't pronounce.
Yeah, I'm trying to get away from that. I'm slowly trying to rebuild my makeup stash with some more stuff like this. Some things I'm just like, you know what? None of the mascaras and eyeliner are going to cut it unless they got the really funky chemicals in it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But things like this, or the blush, or the like the mineral powder setting and stuff, that's, you know, like you can make that in a really nice, natural way and have it work nicely.
Cool.
So I'm trying to.
I mean, that's what I get for buying RuPaul's favorite makeup brand.
Well, there you go. It's not going to be super natural.
What would RuPaul do?
Chemicals. Long time wear.
Painted on.
Yeah.
Well, my obsession is the, it's not the, it's not a thing I have. It's a thing I can't find, and it's driving me nuts. And it's Summer of Cider. I decided this summer was Summer of Cider. And I found this cider in Alberta when I was home probably a year ago. And it's this Okanagan crisp apple extra dry.
Ooh, I'm all over it already.
And
say no more.
I found it in Alberta when I was home visiting. And
what's the brand?
It's Okanagan.
Just Okanagan is the brand.
Yeah. And I have since looked for it.
Okanagan Cider Company?
That's the one.
Oh.
I've since looked for it in basically every time I go and get like a beer or a bottle of wine or a cider, I look for it.
They're just over on Great Northern Way, just down the hill.
Oh,
it's their offices. I just Googled it and it came right out.
Do they sell from their office, maybe?
But they have like the crisp apple, like the regular one, and it's in a red, it has like the red color on the can. And there's like a pear one that's in the yellow can.
Sure.
And the other one is in the green can, whatever. But the extra dry, I have not found it anywhere. I have not found it in the city. I found it somewhere, I forget where. Oh, on Vancouver Island when I was visiting my in-laws. I found it
in
at some random
beer and wine or something.
Rinky-dink beer and wine store. And I was like, oh my God, this, I can't believe this is here. And I was not on my list. And I was, you know, there to get wine. And I'm like, well, I have to buy this because I've never find it anywhere.
Well, but gotta buy
I can't
find
it anywhere. And there's this great liquor store, this new liquor store in my neighborhood on Denman Street that just opened maybe 2 years ago. And I was like, do you guys have this one kind, like you have this, all the other kinds, but do you have like the extra dry of this one? And they're like, oh no, we'll get it in, we'll order it in. They haven't got it in yet.
Motherfuckers.
Come on, guys. But it's really good. It's not super, super sweet. It's still like a little bit sweet, but it's not super sweet. Really nice
like
over a pile of
headache.
Ice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really fucking hard to find. So
nice.
If
we'll keep our eyes peeled. If anybody sees it out in the
too
wild.
Too much of like an intellectual cider for the people who, come on, you guys. You know what I mean? Like the average person who buys a cider out here is like
growers.
Yeah.
Oof. Growers. It's changing. There's a lot of artisanal ciders.
Literally
happening.
Like a jug.
I think everybody got really tired of like those super hoppy IPAs and that whole craft beer like laying it on. Super,
everyone realized
super
it tastes like shit.
Or just as like you can't have more than one, your whole face just turns inside out.
Or a bunch of other ciders that are like Strongbows that are so sweet.
Super sweet. We went to a cidery.
Too sweet.
On Gabriola, when we went to Gabriola. We went to a cidery there and they had these.
There's a cidery there?
Yeah, it's new. It's really nice.
I was going to say, I'm heading over in a couple days.
It's good.
Might have to.
I'll find out what it's called.
Look,
I can't remember.
Look a bitch up.
But they were saying that Strongbow cider has as much sugar in it as like a can of Coke.
I bet it does. I can't drink Strongbow.
It's crazy. Anyway, extra dry.
And even the Lone Tree stuff is even pretty sweet considering.
It's pretty sweet, yeah. So I can't find it. So Okanagan, I was like, well, this is from BC. Like, I'll be able to find it. No problem.
It's all over the place.
I cannot find it anywhere.
I just looked it up on the BC liquor store. It's not available at any BC liquor store.
I know.
How dare they? You might have to go to like those ones that are like independently owned.
Yeah. Have you been to Legacy? Oh, maybe.
The giant one in
Falls Creek.
I've been in there and it is intimidating.
They got some shit in there.
It's like the fucking TSA in there when you get to the lineup. They're like, do you have a membership?
I know.
For what?
You're like, do I have to be a member?
Yeah.
I just want my alcohol.
I'm like, well, okay. I'm just like putting things away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, actually, it's the kind of place where they have like alcohol behind glass locked doors.
Yes, because it's like $400 sake or some shit.
Yeah.
Not for me.
They might have it. I'll have to check.
Not for anyone who lives in that neighborhood. No. Christ.
Anyway.
But anyway, and the
good
one.
Good to know. I'll keep my eyes peeled.
The cider that's on Gabriola is really good. And they do their. There's a local establishment called the Tap and Barrel. And they have their cider on tap. So you can get it on tap. It's really good. It's super dry.
Excellent.
But anyway, fucking extra dry. I can't find it anywhere. It's driving
good to
nuts.
Know.
And summer of cider's almost over. It's almost not summer anymore. It's going to be fall.
I didn't have a summer of cider last summer because I was fucking pregnant. And now I'm living my best fucking cider life.
I know. It's all ciders on the table right now.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's me. Summer of cider is coming to an end and I still don't have my favorite one. So that's a lot.
Oh, boy.
Anyway. We should probably wrap this.
Yeah, we should. It's getting late. You got to go find your parents.
Wrap this mother up.
Yeah, and probably save my husband from the just awkwardly being at home with my parents. No, I'm just kidding. They're actually pals to everybody's.
I was going to say, that's probably not torture on either side of that.
No.
And that's the dream.
My dad and my husband both had, like, my dad has a martini. It's martini time is like 4:30.
Yeah.
And so my husband has a martini, had a martini today, and it's not usually his thing. He's like, I don't think I can go up today. Like, I don't have to lie down. Like, I'm pretty drunk right now. He's like, well, I got to go. See, like, I guess you can't have give fun. Me a ride. So I have to go wake him up. He probably has fallen asleep on the bed. But anyway. Anyways.
Good times.
If you guys have any suggestions of books that you love, any of your fashion talk to favorite us. Books. Tag us in it, send us pictures, send us an email, whatever. All of the ways to find us are on the website, but you can find us on Instagram at Fashion Hags Podcast. You can tweet us, Fashion Hags Pod.
Fashion Hags at Gmail.
Just
shoot thanks us for the message. Email, Gabby, about the Met Ball next year. We'll see.
We will. We have many things to say, and we're gathering. We're gathering receipts.
Yes, we're compiling receipts right now.
Also, check out the website, which is fashionhagspodcast.com, and all of the episodes, maybe we don't talk about this enough, but all of the episodes are there. You can actually stream the episodes right from the website if you're at work and you don't have a podcast app.
Sure, you don't have your phone or whatever. Yeah, you can do it all from there.
Or if you are in your 60s and you don't know how podcasts work, just go to the website. You can press play from there. It's no big deal.
Sounds good.
But you can comment on that as well, so feel free to do that. And yeah, just let us know if there's something you guys think we should know about or something you want to hear about on the podcast as a topic.
Yes, please. We enjoy feedback.
Yeah, we make no guarantees, but we love hearing from you guys. So
absolutely. Just, you know,
fire away.
Absolutely.
So, and also, thanks, BBC Culture. Yeah. That was a humbling
so afternoon. Cool.
Very cool. And thanks to all of you guys for listening.
Yay! We love you.
But we love fashion more.
Mm-hmm. Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye.